our God. Certainly we thank God for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being participatory in this place once again. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He has looked beyond our faults and blessed us according to our needs. And certainly we thank him and give him praise for deeming it necessary for us to be in the house of the Lord one more time. He has blessed us with a portion of health and strength. He has given us sanity. He has secured our souls and secured our lives. And he has supplied our every need. God is all that the song say he is and more. And I think we ought to pause and praise his name. He brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Certainly we thank God for these preachers who accompany me in the pulpit, Reverend McCoy and Reverend Mims. I see Reverend Lee Walker. Are there any other preachers in the sanctuary today? Thank God for the presence of these deacons and trustees who have devoted our hearts till the ground so the seed of God's word can fall on fertile soil. Thank God for the melodious singing praise team and the musicians, the minister of music, to thanking God for the environmental safety team that have blessed us in our coming in and who will bless us in our going out. And God's blessings to all of you. It's just good for us to be here. Amen. Some of us ought to praise him because we went through a whole lot on last week. But he has blessed us to see this day. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. And our preaching, again, is abounding in Christ. And the focus today is the abounding power of Christ to heal and forgive. We started this 2021st year. Our focus is abounding in Christ, and I shared with us that there is nothing average about us as Christians, that we are beyond the ordinary, beyond what is normal. There's nothing average about you. There's nothing average about me, because the Lord is in us. And knowing that the Lord is in us, he takes us beyond the natural, beyond the ordinary. When people look at you, they ought to see the evidence of God in your life. When you go places, you are to be a marquee, a sign of God's presence in the earth. As you go hither and thither, you ought not be like everybody else in the world. You are to be a marquee. People ought to say, look at the glory of God as you walk by. Look at the goodness of God. Look at the blessings of the Lord as you walk by. You are a representative of God, and you are to abound. You are to abound, not in self, but in the Lord. Because if you exalt yourself, the Bible says God will abase you. But if you humble yourself, God shall exalt you. Amen. So you live on top. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I want you to underscore that in your Bible. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the toweling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. God's word for God's people, God's word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy word. I want to talk about the abounding power of Jesus to heal and forgive. The abounding power of Jesus to heal and forgive. Say that with me, if you will. The abounding power of Jesus to heal and forgive. This particular passage records a miracle of healing and forgiveness of a paralytic man. If Jesus was just human, the claims he made about himself would have made him a liar or a lunatic. But Jesus, he set out to show his disciples and the mass crowds that followed him that he was not a liar or a lunatic. That he was fully man and fully God at the same time, in the same person, in the same body. That Jesus was God embodied, personified, incarnate. In other words, he was what the angel announced to Mary in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew when she pondered in her heart, how could these things be, that she should bring forth a son and they should call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus was God with us. Notice Jesus is in Capernaum, the base or the station of his ministry. He had been run out of Nazareth and he had settled in Capernaum, where he had done the bulk of his teachings and perform the bulk of his miracles. He's in a house in Capernaum, and there's a mass crowd around Jesus as he is expounding upon the teachings of the kingdom of heaven. Text says that while he was there in the house, there was a crowd, but the crowd was mixed. It was a mixed multitude, because there were people there that really wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, but there were some there who were there to be critical of what he said. Luke explains to us that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law. Critical people who was strategically placed there by Satan to interrupt the messages and miracles of Jesus Christ. Let me pause to say to us, when the people of God comes together, think not that critical people are not among us. Because all Pharisees and doctors of the law are not dead. Satan still plants and positions people in the midst of crowds, Christian crowds, to interrupt, disturb, to hamper and hinder the word of God from going forth and miracles being performed. They were there to criticize Christ. They were there to pass judgment on the new movement under Jesus. They came to plague him with criticism and controversy. But regardless of their criticism and controversy, the Bible says that the power of the Lord was there to heal them. That's good news. That's shout news. Regardless of what Satan is trying to do in our midst, the power of God is present. And his power, Satan's power, cannot extinguish, cannot put out, cannot hinder or hamper the power of the Lord. And it's evident in the text that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It's no big deal. Critical people are in our midst. Because people can't encumber or obstruct the power of the Lord to heal. If you are in need of a miracle, if you are in need of healing, don't focus your attention on critical people. Put your attention on Christ. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, don't focus on critical people. Focus your attention on Christ. Several things I want to share with you are lift from the passage that denotes the abounding power of Jesus to heal and forgive. First of all, notice the people's recognition of Jesus' power to heal. They had recognized his power to heal. This is not the first miracle that Jesus had performed. They had recognized his power to heal. Verse 18 says, behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Him being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the person in need of healing was a man who, because of the nature of his physical problem, could not go to Jesus himself. This paralytic man needed the aid and the assistance of others to get the healing he desperately needed. His disease had rendered him motionless. In other words, his disease had paralyzed him. The problem the man had was paralysis. Luke says that he was taken with palsy. Mark Gospel said that he was sick of the palsy. And when you compare the two scriptures, we learn that this man had a sickness like polio, which resulted in paralysis. His friends recognized his illness and they recognized Jesus' power to heal him. And in recognition of his illness and in recognizing Jesus' power to heal him, they carried him to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we see a lot of problems that exist around us. But we're not like the four men who brought this man or carried this man into the presence of the Lord. We recognize, and that's about all we're doing, is recognizing the hurts, recognizing the pain, recognizing the problems that exist around us. We come to church and shout over the power of the Lord, the dunamis of God, his ability and strength to heal. They recognize that. They recognize his strength and ability to do something about their friend's dilemma. They recognize the power, the dunamis of Christ to heal. Eomai in the Greek, which means to cure, to make complete, to make whole. The men, they recognize Jesus' power to heal, to bring health to this person's sick, this person's physical, emotional, and spiritual illness. He was messed up. You know, most of the time when we look at people, we only notice the physical aspect. But have you ever thought, because that person is sick physically, there is also something going on emotionally and spiritually? He was messed up. He was completely messed up. He was paralyzed in every facet of his being. He was paralyzed spiritually. He was paralyzed physically. He was paralyzed emotionally. He was messed up. And listen, he's not the only one, because there are messed up people in the world, and just may be somebody messed up in here. You have stumbled into this place. You have been broken and messed up and torn and painting for a long time. You don't have it together emotionally. You don't have it together physically. You don't have it together spiritually. You are a wretch. This man is a picture of humanity before salvation. This is a picture of all of us before we said yes to Jesus. We were messed up completely. Can anybody own that today? Prior to being saved, Pastor, I was messed up completely. I was messed up in every facet of my being. And somebody here can be a witness today and testify today and be truthful today that you don't have it all together now. You're still emotionally disturbed, spiritually weak, and physically hampered. He was completely messed up. And his friends recognized his illness, and they also recognize the power of the Lord to heal. This is what faith will do. Faith not only recognizes a problem, but faith causes us to respond.
That's right.
I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. They went and got their friend from his place in life, picked him up, and carried him to where his healing was. The question I ask, because it's not enough just to recognize the issues that exist around us, how many of us are going to respond just like these men did, to go and get people from their place of brokenness, their place of pain, their place of being incomplete, their place of being no good, their place of being devilish, and their place of being satanically used, and pick them up and carry them to where their healing is. They went and got him. They went and fetched him and brought him to Jesus. This is the perfect picture of compassion, because compassion is a deep awareness of the suffering of another, coupled with a desire to relieve it. It's not just recognizing what's happening, it's to respond in a way to relieve another of his suffering. The four men, they weren't sick, but they had a sick friend. And you know, we got some sick folk in our families. Come on, talk to me. You know, everybody in our families are not, you know, right with God. Everybody in our families don't have salvation, and all of us got them now. You know, I don't care, you know, how long you've been saved, you got some people that's related to you that don't know Jesus. You know, week after week, we pass by them, we talk to them, and we don't even mention the Lord Jesus Christ to them. We don't even have a desire and compassion in heart to pick them up from that state that they're in, to carry them into the presence of the Lord, just like somebody carried us into the presence of the Lord. You didn't come on your own.
That's right.
No, you didn't come on your own. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody had courage to speak truth to you. And they got you to the place of his presence. And that's where you experience conversion. They had compassion for this paralyzed man. And they asserted effort in order to get him to Jesus. And they had a great deal. Because the distance is not mentioned in the text, but we do know that he was not outside the house.
That's right.
The text says they brought him. So if they brought him from across town, they had to use their energy and strength to carry him. Listen, if you're going to deal with unsaved folk with an attempt to save the unsaved, you got to understand it's going to be heavy and hard.
That's right. Amen.
They brought him because they recognize the power of Christ. So first of all, we see the power of Christ. But secondly, we see the persistence of the four friends, because there was a problem they faced when they got to the house.
All right.
They had carried him for a ways, and they got to the house, and there in the house was a multitude, so much so that they couldn't open the door. If it's not one thing, it's another. It was a problem. The house was filled, and the people barricaded the door. And there were so many people in the house that they could not get in the house to Jesus through the door. Now, good intentions are met with opposition.
That's right.
Y'all missed me then. You can be good and have good intentions. But your good intentions will be met with opposition. Because you said to do the right thing doesn't mean Satan is not going to oppose you. And people are not going to oppose you. Everybody don't understand what you are trying to do and the motive behind which you are doing it. There will be opposition. But when there's opposition, there needs to be persistence. They didn't give up because they couldn't get in. When you can't get in, sometimes you don't go in, you go up. They took the man and climbed on top of the house and started tearing away the towelings and created a hole in the top of the house. Right above where Jesus was teaching. And the Bible says that they lowered the man down into the presence of the Lord. See, persistence don't give up half of the way. It doesn't go most of the way, but it goes all the way. Faith can't fizzle before the finish. They went up, tore out the roof to lower him down. That brings me to my third point. There was a partnership of faith, because while they were lowering him down, Jesus, when he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven." Y'all missed that. He looked at them, saw their faith, and said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus was pleased to notice the faith of the four men, and we are not told that the paralytic at this time had faith in Jesus, but his friends had faith in Jesus. They believed that if they could only get him to the presence of the Lord, they would not have to carry him home anymore. Somebody here, you've been carrying people a long time. You've been carrying them emotionally. You've been carrying them physically. You've been carrying them financially. You've been trying to carry them spiritually. But have you ever thought, if you could only get them to Jesus, your carrying days will be all over? Because the Lord can do something for them that you can't do. See, he can pick them up and turn their life around. He can change their course in life. He can give them strength to be a carrier instead of being carried. He can do it for them. Have you ever thought, if I can only get them to where Jesus is? You're weighed down, you're beat down, you're burdened, because you've been trying to carry your children. You've been trying to carry your spouse. You've been trying to carry your nieces and nephews. You've been trying to carry mama and daddy. You got to give them over to the Lord, because he never designed your shoulders to carry them. He says, I will carry them. Jesus speaks in this text. He says, come unto me. Y'all, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're tired. I can tell this morning that you're tired. You're worn out. You had to catch an extra job because of the financial problems that your children have. You're tired. I can look at you this morning and tell that you're tired. You're emotionally drained because you're fresh out of an argument. Trying to convince somebody of how good and compassionate you are. You have rehearsed that line over and over again about how they should be thankful.
Amen.
That you are even in their life.
That's right.
But the truth is, you have walked away scrapped and tired. I can tell you're tired. You're tired of paying all the bills. You've been carrying everybody.
That's right.
In that house, I can tell you're tired. You've been praying yourself to sleep at night. Hoping that persons near and dear you will turn around and give their life to Christ.
That's right.
You've been carrying. Matter of fact, you've been carrying so long, now you're stooped over.
Yeah.
You used to walk up straight.
That's right.
Now there's a bend in your back. Because you're tired.
That's right.
They carried the man to Jesus.
Yeah.
And they lowered him into his presence. In other words, they got rid of their load. They didn't have to carry the man anymore.
Amen.
If you would just wake up your child, you're feeding bacon in the morning, hamburgers at noon, and pork chops in the evening. If you just wake them up and tell them to get out of the bed while you're on your way to church, your carrying will be all over. If you would just wake up that spouse and say, listen, I'm going to church today, and you too. If I got to carry you because I'm tired of carrying you, he said, and you'll say to them, you need to know Jesus, and if you would just get him here.
Amen.
That cousin you got to keep loaning money to. That they never pay back. Every time you loan it with a promissory, they say, well, I promise you I'm going to pay it back as soon as I get paid, and they never get paid.
That's right.
And you swore I'll never give it to you again. Because you didn't pay me back the last time. But the last time never becomes the last time, because over and over and again you're carrying them financially. If you would just wake them up on Sunday morning, and if they would get the same message you getting, you won't have to carry them anymore. The carrying was all over. Notice the power of Jesus, not only to heal, but the power of Jesus to forgive, because as they were lowering him down into the presence of the Lord, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Now, Jesus declared his forgiveness, and there were people critical in the crowd that had a controversy with Jesus. The Pharisees and scribes were there with a different reason. They were wanting to accuse him and pass judgment on him and his teachings and healing. And the critical protested that this forgiveness of sins. Notice the mental note. They objected to what Jesus said, but they did it silently. See, stuff you're saying under your breath, Jesus hears you. Stuff you're thinking, he hears you.
That's right. Amen.
They didn't say it loud. The text says they reasoned within themselves. And he saw that they were reasoning within themselves, and he said unto them, is it easier? Are y'all in here with me? To say this man's sin be forgiven, or to say rise up and walk. He says same thing.
That's right.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of grace to forget and not hold people of faith accountable for sins. The forgiven is put in a right relationship with God to and transferred from spiritual death to spiritual life through the sacrifice of Jesus. Here it is. Jesus is declaring this man's life. And people, religious people, had a problem with Jesus declaring life. You know it's a problem when people who sit on the padded pew have a problem with somebody receiving life. You know, when you first got saved, everybody wasn't happy. Some people thought you were beyond saving. You had been out there a while, and they, you know, when you came up before the church, they really thought you were playing. You know, God is not... hadn't changed him. God hadn't changed her.
That's right.
And they were criticizing right in the midst of conversion. Life Jesus was giving, and they wanted to hinder and hamper him giving him life because they had a problem with what he said. Only God can forgive sins.
That's right.
They were right by saying that, but they were wrong because they didn't see Jesus as God. He's God, I tell you. He's God in the flesh. He's God, I tell you. He's God who heals. He's God who forgives. He's God who gives life. He's God who can turn it around. They were right, only God. Jesus said, well, let me demonstrate to you that I'm God. He said, it's the same thing. If I tell this man to take up his bed and walk, or if I say to him, thy sins be forgiven, it's the same thing. He said, but let me demonstrate my power. Let me show you just who I am. He said, I am God Almighty. Pick up your bed and walk. And the Bible says that it was without delay that immediately the man picked up his bed and went to walking. But not only did he walk, he started praising and glorifying God.
Is there anybody here this afternoon who want to give God glory for where he has brought you from? You were lame emotionally. You were lame physically. And you were lame spiritually. But you're walking now. You got strength in your legs. You got strength in your arms. You got strength of emotions. And you got strength in your body. Is there anybody in the room who want to thank God for picking you up and turning your life around? You ought to point at somebody and tell them, thank God for Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, I would still be messed up. I would still be on my bed. I would still be paralyzed. But I thank God for Jesus. I can jump now and give him praise because he healed my body. I can jump now and give him praise because he saved my soul. I can jump now and give him praise and glory because he turned my life around. Well, how did he do it, preacher? He did it by his own suffering and death on the cross of Calvary. He went to a hill called Calvary, and he gave his hands to the nails and his feet to the spikes. He gave his head to the crown of thorns and his back to that old rugged cross. He died and gave his spirit to his father and his lifeless body to the grave. But early Sunday morning, he took his spirit back from his father. He got his body, his lifeless body, back with his soul and spirit, and he stood up on resurrection saw and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Is there anybody in the room? Thank God for all power. When he walked upon the sea, that was some power. When he healed the sick, that was some power. When he fed hungry multitudes, that was some power. When he opened blinded eyes and unstopped deaf ears, that was some power. But early Sunday morning, he didn't get up with some power. He got up with all power, heaven and earth in his hand. Let me ask you my question, and I'm going to my seat. Ain't the Lord all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah. Power to heal. Power to forgive. I'm free. I'm made whole. I'm complete because of the power of Jesus Christ. His presence, and he forgave my sin. When I didn't have sense to pray for myself, somebody was praying for me. When I didn't have sense to bring myself, my wayward and terrible condition, and said, we know the Lord and we know him. Let's connect the two. Let's bring them together so that Rogers can be changed and saved. It happened for me, and I'm glad about it. I'm glorifying the Lord because my life has been changed. You know, that's what will happen when the Lord really touches your life and speak forgiveness
to you in healing. So often we come to church hurt, painting in all facets now. Some of us are spiritually painting now, emotionally painting, physically painting. Jesus is here. And he wants to heal you and save you. We come wearing faces. But if people only knew beyond the smiles, the hellacious situations we had to press through to get to church. Some spouses are not in agreement with you coming to church. They don't even come with you, and they're not in agreement with you coming. They talk down on the church. They don't understand why you keep coming. That's a burden. That's heavy. Children are wayward, trying to do their own thing and do all they can against what you taught them being Christian is. That's a weight. Some people are struggling financially because you're trying to take care of two or three households at the same time. You got grown children that you're trying to carry. And they don't have a regard for you and the hard work that you are doing. They're steady adding weight to you. They spend their money on what they want and beg for what they need. And you weighed down. Struggling. Jesus says, "Day your day. I'm in the house. Give them to me. You can never be to them what the Lord is to them and what he wants to be to them. Sometimes you have to cut them off so they are connect with the Lord. You got to bring them and lure them into his presence. Listen, I'm finished. You're tired. You're tired. And you want to be healed and made free. Salvation is being made free. Christ Jesus came to earth to bear the burden of humanity. He took that burden to Calvary, where he paid the price with his own blood. Why are you struggling? And he has already struggled and satisfied the debt. Come give your life to Christ. Today, come give your life to Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, come today. Give him your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. How do you do that, preacher? Simply by believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. He was buried and God raised him up the third morning, third day morning. And confessing the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth. And the Bible says thou shall be saved. You're here and you're backslidden. Come. Space between you and God is heavy. David describes it as losing the joy of salvation. I'm saved. But Lord, I don't feel like it. It seems like spiritually all of the joy has been wrung out of me. I need my joy. I need my peace. Come today if you need to be restored. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart as a church family, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Reaches to me. Come on. Come on. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Street like no other. Come on, come on. Street like no other. Reaches to me. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Everyone to your feet if you will. We ask our candidate of baptism to come. We thank God for your presence and your salvation. I want to pray over you. She has already received her certificate of baptism. What's your name again?
Abriah Carson.
Abriah. Amen. Father, we thank you for Abriah's soul, adding her to our church. Lord, we take responsibility as fellow believers, as pastor and family of Abriah, Lord, to lead and guide her in the way, to teach her your truth, Lord, to help her be strengthened in her faith so she can live in victory, live on top because there's no place at the bottom for her. I pray, Lord, for everyone that's connected to her life, that she would be like that woman that went running into the town telling everybody she knows, come see a man who told me all about myself. Who can pick you up and turn your life around. Who can make it better for you. Who can put you on the right, the straight, and the narrow. Lord, use her to grow your kingdom. Extend your kingdom in the earth in Jesus' name. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. We love her. We thank you, Lord, for sending her in Jesus' name. Amen. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen. Listen, go live on top. You have no place at the bottom. God has called you to abound.
Reaches to me. You are my strength.
You are my strength.
Strength like.